Hello, every pony. I'm back, and I apologise immensely for the long wait. Over the next couple of months, I am going to be very, very, very busy, sadly, with life in general. I have college exams coming up soon, and I need to prepare for those. So, I'm going to get the last three stories, including this one, out and ready to hopefully satisfy you all for a while, but I'm sure a great many of you understand. So, on to the story. Today I have brought for you the Klopfik My Not-So-Little Pony Tricks and Treats. It's a second-person story between Trixie and a human brony. And one last thing, if I sound a bit different now, it's because in between recording this and editing this, I have had a really bad cold, so I might still sound a little bit sniffly. But the reading was done before that, so we're all fine. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Thank you all again for listening, everypony. Let's go. My Not-So-Little Pony Tricks and Treats by Plot Pony. It had been about 3 months since you'd ended up in Equestria. You weren't sure what machinations had brought you to this magical land, to be honest. One day you had simply been in the human world, minding your own business. It had been shopping day, and you'd been in the cereal aisle. It was really late at night, because, being you happened to be quite the night owl. It was really the best time to shop. There wasn't any competition for all the best groceries, no lines to check out, no one trying to make small talk. Plus, no one really judged you for wearing whatever you happened to lay your hands on before you left. On that particular day, it had been a random hoodie that happened to have a certain symbol on the side. It was rather low-key, but you still didn't tend to wear it out in case anybody recognised it. The symbol on the left side of the hoodie, and along the back, were of a magic wand leaving a sparkling trail and a crescent moon. The cutie mark of one particular pony you had always loved. Trixie. Sure, you got some odd looks every now and again of your pony love, but you really couldn't help yourself. The show was genuinely good, and you enjoyed the general cute, fun, humorous tone. Societal expectations be damned. In any case, you'd tossed on the hoodie, a pair of wrinkled jeans, and headed straight off to the store. Everything had seemed ordinary, but then you reached for the oats. You didn't even really like oats, but they were a quick, cheap breakfast. Not to mention, that fellow with the poofy white hair on the label always seemed so charming and trustworthy it was kind of hard not to want to buy them. In any case, you'd simply reached for the oats, and the second your hand had wrapped around that spherical cardboard tube, slap, bang, bam, you'd been standing in the middle of Ponyville, hoodie, wrinkled jeans and all. It had really been rather jarring, and not for the reasons one might expect. For one, there was a remarkable difference between generic grocery store number 13483 and the town square of an idyllic country hamlet. You were so used to the smoggy city air that the sudden freshness of the cool breeze that hit your face almost burned with its clarity. And then there was all the screaming. Oh, that hadn't started right away. There'd been stock silence at first. So much so that you hardly noticed the ponies standing around staring at you as though a two-headed dog had just waltzed into town and started doing the hula. When they started screaming, though, then you noticed. Because the ponies from My Little Pony weren't so little. The shortest one in the crowd was easily 6 feet tall. You jumped back as a unicorn that would put a Clydesdale to shame raced past you in a fit of shock. You looked to where you had been standing to see a scorched patch of earth. You must have come down with quite a noise to cause this much commotion. You'd later hear that you'd in fact come in a burst of lightning and thunder, like some kind of great bolt from heaven smashing into the middle of town square. Twilight Sparkle had said that it was quite a wonder there was anything still standing within a 5-mile radius of where you came into their universe. Apparently the damage had been mitigated to some alternate universe. That is, as you could ascertain or grasp anything she ever said much at all. It really was more complex than you could wrap your head around. You'd always figured that shows were just shows, but apparently there was this whole thing about a multiverse and the zeitgeist theory of creation and all this other gobbledygook you really couldn't make heads or tails of. In any case, this also meant that you were apparently now trapped in the magical land of Equestria. And while Twilight might have slightly grasped the what, the why, or how, the way to make a return trip escaped her for the time being. Eventually, you'd managed to calm down the populace, after you'd calmed yourself down anyway. That had taken quite a bit of breathing and fighting down the urge to either scream in terror or fanboyism. You weren't sure. Plus, to be honest, it wasn't really you who had calmed them down anyway. You could still remember it. You'd had to very carefully avoid getting squashed as an enormous bonbon very nearly galloped over you in panic. You were quick on your feet, but it was mostly luck of the draw that you jumped in the right directions. You'd known from your own world that ponies weren't the best in a crisis, and this proved that even further. When equines were threatened, they stampeded. You'd eventually found a cart to hide under while the ponies continued to panic. Because they were so much larger than you expected, that meant the tools they used were bigger too. The cart was high enough off the ground to hide you and then some. You watched and tried to wrap your head around what had happened to you. You were in Equestria, out and out Equestria. No ifs, ands or buts about it. It was real. It was all real. All the things you'd seen on various message boards and YouTube videos. It was here. Living, breathing, and more real than you dared ever hoped. You wanted to touch everything, taste everything. At the moment, getting home didn't even occur to you terribly much. You really just wanted everyone, no, every pony, to calm down so you could get a word in edgewise. You couldn't see where it was coming from because of the cart. It blocked you from looking much higher than a foot or two off the ground. There was no question of what was happening, however, as a familiar voice hit your ears like a sledgehammer.
Every pony calm down!
You could hear a slight modulation in that voice, probably magic to make it louder. Still, there was no mistaking who it was.
Twilight!
Said another voice. It didn't sound as panicked as the others had earlier. In fact, it seemed to be having fun, and far too much of it.
You should have seen it! I was taking this cake to Ball Bearing, because you know it's his birthday and all, but then there was this big crash!
The voice made the appropriate sound effects with its mouth.
I know, Pinky, I heard.
You heard it was Ball Bearing's birthday? How did you know that? I didn't know you knew each other. Maybe you could help me make another cake. This one fell on the ground.
Twilight's voice made a confused sound as it had to readjust itself to Pinky logic.
No, I mean about the boom. Now every pony just stay calm. It was probably thunder.
It wasn't thunder, said a voice you didn't recognize. I saw this horrible creature. It almost knocked me over.
Hey, you thought internally.
Bonbon,
Twilight replied levelly.
Last week you thought that a tree outside your house was a horrible creature and tried to get me to call Celestia.
Bonbon's voice was quiet for several seconds.
Well, you don't know. Maybe it was a horrible creature that could turn into a tree.
You could hear the sound of Twilight's face hoof from your hiding place.
Look, I know we all had a little scare, but it was just lightning. I'll put up some more spells of the local lightning rod so it doesn't strike so close to any pony this time. Wouldn't that make you feel better?
There it is!
Bonbon screamed. Suddenly, the square was filled with gasps. You felt your stomach lurch as you felt something odd grasping your pant leg. You looked back to see your shoe was sticking out from under the cart, surrounded in a halo of purple magic. It didn't feel like a grip per se, more like your foot was immersed in warm, slightly underdone jello. Your stomach lurched, and all at once you found yourself hanging upside down in front of a crowd of curious, slightly terrified-looking ponies, the muzzle of Twilight Sparkle, wider across than your head for her strangely large size, 2 inches from your nose. And that had been your first 20 minutes in Equestria. It had taken quite a while to get things sorted out after that. Twilight had calmed the populace down with a little bit of help from your often spoken over interjections before dragging you back to the library. Twilight had consulted no less than 12 bestiaries before deciding to believe you about the alternate dimension thing, checking to make sure you weren't some kind of changeling or other creature she wasn't aware of trying some kind of trick. After that, she'd been fascinated. You tried to explain to her that her life was a mere cartoon in your world, but she found that hard to grasp. You supposed that if someone tried to tell you something similar about your own life, you'd find it rather hard to swallow as well. Still, you knew things you couldn't have known otherwise, and after a while of going over the events in her life that had led to her moving here, going on many adventures, and finally becoming an Alicorn princess, she'd believed you. Twilight theorized that on the winding scale of universes, sometimes one bled into another, be it directly, little things such as yourself, falling through, or ideas crossing over in the form of creative inspiration. Twilight also added that sometimes the bleeds didn't get things 100% right. Their size, for instance. Being in Twilight's library was astounding to say the least. More in fact that every book was about the size of a Bible from your perspective, and the doorways and stairs seemed to be just a bit too big to accommodate you. Then there'd been Spike. There were few words to express how weird it was that he wasn't that much shorter than you. You remembered that Twilight had looked oddly at your Trixie hoodie, but if she recognized it, she didn't comment. 3 months down the line now, it was decided you couldn't stay with Twilight. She still found it just a touch odd how much you knew about her. She'd invited the rest of the main six over to appraise you, and it had been decided that the whole your life is a TV show in another dimension thing was something the general populace didn't really need to know. They didn't even have TVs in the first place. But you were still a sentient being, and by the laws of Equestria, that entitled you to some form of housing and general respect. It had been shaky going at first, but Celestia had found a spare room in Ponyville, and you lived there by her decree whilst Twilight and the rest of the main six tried to figure out how to get you home. The spare room you lived in, however, happened to be Lyra and Bonbon's house, which was stationed right next door. Some days you'd glance out of the window when Twilight was doing her little test that took 5 hours, and you'd see a blur of mint green disappear. Bonbon still looked at you with suspicion, even now occasionally. But Lyra? Oh, Lyra loved you to the point where you kinda wished she didn't. Apparently, she'd always had the inclination that humans were real, but had never had any proof. Now, though, she showed you around town like a prized horse, often taking you on long train rides just to visit old Falhood schoolmates. Beside all the inherent strangeness of being in a world filled with what, in your view, were giant ponies, you were actually adapting pretty well. You didn't really miss your old life terribly. Here you had much less responsibility. The townsfolk were nice, after getting over their abject terror anyway. So what if you were a good foot and a half shorter than the average pony? This was good living. Not to mention, as the little devious part of your brain quickly ascertained, you were really at perfect ogling height. Okay, it wasn't the most innocent thing to notice, but even back home you'd been guilty of surfing certain websites every now and again, particularly the plot tag. Heck, you would have been perfectly happy with the rears of your various equine acquaintances if they'd been 3 feet. But since they were double that and some change, though, let's just say that the size difference came through everywhere. Heck, for all Fluttershy's shyness, her rear end was wider than your shoulders, and right at eye level. The gentle ballad of those oh-so-soft-looking butter-yellow cheeks, it would almost be a crime not to stare. And the way Pinkie Pie bounced around town? Forget about it. You, of course, hadn't mentioned that to anyone. That was your own little secret. You found that since ponies seemed to walk everywhere naked, there was just kinda no worry about that sort of thing. You supposed that was probably doubly true with you, since you weren't even the same size. Still, that didn't stop a little bit of your own personal xenophilia from breaking through. It also didn't help that when it came down to it, you had a small thing for size difference anyway. In any case, today you and Lyra had planned to do something fun, As far as you knew, no one, or no ponies you had to get used to saying, was quite sure what was supposed to happen. But every single door in town had had a flyer pinned to it saying there'd be some kind of show in the square. Never one to miss a chance to be seen outdoors with her human, Lyra had offered to take you to see what the fuss was about. There was a crowd of ponies already gathered around something under a massive sheet. Some tried to get close enough to see what might be underneath it, but there was some kind of magical force field around the general area. They all stared in curiosity as you and Lyra arrived. You'd asked Lyra several times over the course of knowing her if you could ride on her back. Heck, the green mare was just about as tall as a real horse. It didn't seem like too much to ask. But even though she seemed to think about it the first time around, Bon Bon had expressly forbade her from doing so. She thought the whole practice was demeaning. Thus, you had to walk everywhere. Still, it could have been a lot worse, you supposed. It wasn't a very far walk from their house to the square. Besides, Ponyville was nice. Still, you had to admit that you very much wished you could have at least stood on her shoulders while the ponies waited. Lyra did a fine job of clearing a path for you into the middle of the crowd, but once you were there it was like a wall of pony flesh in all directions. Admittedly, there were worse things to have blocking your view, but most Ponyvillians were on the taller end of the spectrum, not to mention they were a lot wider to accommodate it. Your lowly height did very little against their own. You were jostled a bit as Lyra came to a stop, a sea of multicoloured ponies in all directions. In truth, Ponyville wasn't all that big, but that hardly mattered when the ponies that lived in it were instead. There was, however, the added bonus of most of the population being female, so being jostled was also far from the worst thing that could have happened to you considering the current scenario. The mares behind you were looking at the object under the cloth far above your head. They could hardly notice anything you were doing unless you did something to draw their attention. This meant the mares in front of you were fair game. You could see quite a few ponies from around town in the crowd. Berry Punch in particular was right in your line of sight. She was swaying with a slight drunkenness that did interesting things to her hips and legs as they moved to keep her in balance. Apparently, the cider that all the ponies had been so excited about when the Flim Flam brothers had come to town had been alcoholic after all. Who knew? Come to think of it, that didn't mean wonderful things for Rainbow Dash. After 3 months of being here, you were pretty sure the poor girl was just a bit of an alcoholic. But that was neither here nor there. For now, while you waited for the show to start, you had all the entertainment you could have possibly wanted. Admittedly not the most innocent entertainment, but entertaining nonetheless. You looked to your left and spied Derpy standing in the crowd as well. The mare always seemed so nice and cordial that it was surprising she was one of the taller mares in town. You felt like a little kid whenever you went up to greet her as she brought the mail. Her size added to her clumsiness didn't help matters in the least. It would have been bad enough if she were regular-sized. But no. She had to be a towering giant of destruction. She did, however, make up for it for being quite the catch as well. Her askew eyes were a bit distracting, but they had their own cute little charm when you got down to it. Not to mention she was a Pegasus, so if you could ever convince her to let you ride her, you'd have your own personal flying taxi service. Of course, you'd never be so shallow as to only want to get to know her for those reasons, but they were still there nonetheless. Beyond that, there were so many other mares that you could hardly keep track of them all. How Pinkie Pie kept such a good track of everyone in town, you had absolutely no earthly idea. Still, you were doing a good job of learning names and faces, and rumps, that you were sure you'd get it eventually, particularly since you'd gotten to the point where mares didn't scream at the sight of you. That was a very important step in being accepted into the general population. Couldn't very well make friends while people were running in the opposite direction. Your thoughts of the crowd were interrupted as suddenly the lights around you seemed to dim. This was odd mostly because it was the middle of the day, and you were outside. But as you looked backwards, you noticed that a magical force field had slyly extended around the crowd. It no longer seemed to be made for keeping ponies out or in. A little filly at the edge of the crowd delighted herself in jumping in and out, creating slight ripples across the giant bubble, accompanied by a each time. A drum roll sounded from nowhere as you looked out at the stage. There was a hush washing over the crowd, and you could sense Lyra's excitement for what was coming. There was really no telling what might be inside that tarp. It slowly began to lift, taking its time. There was a big, booming voice ringing from everywhere at once inside that large magical bubble.
Are you ready to be astounded?
It said in a low, interest-drawing rumble.
Are you ready to have your little pony minds blown by daring feats of amazing magic? Well, are you?
The crowd roared and cheered in unison, stomping their hooves. The effect from your perspective was a bit like a mini earthquake had occurred. You leaned against Lyra's flank for balance. That voice, it sounded oddly familiar, but you couldn't quite place where it was you might have heard it. The energy of the crowd only grew as the pony behind that tarp expertly stoked the fires of their interest slowly, building it like a master of the craft, whipping them up into a frenzy.
Well, prepare for your wildest dreams to come true, to see things that defy explanation, to become one with the mystic, to view the amazing, to become the astounding, to view wonders never seen before.
Suddenly, with all the flourish of a great French chef, or perhaps a French chef, since you learned it was called Prance in this world, the covering was ripped off the hidden object, revealing what was underneath for all to see. It was a stage, huge and opulent, with paintings of fireworks and stars all over it. They seemed to dance and shift as magical lights suddenly lit up the sky above the assembled ponies. It was only mid-afternoon, but by some illusionary magic it seemed to be dark all at once. It was really quite a good effect. In a flash of insight, your memory was jogged and you could pinpoint just where it was you had seen this magic before. Heard this voice. It had been in front of your television screen at the beginning of all this, barely a year into the first time you had discovered ponies at all.
You are about to witness...
A mare stepped onto the stage. She was blue in coat, with an amazingly soft-looking mane, parlour in shade, with an almost white stripe running down the middle of it. Above it, perched on her mane, was a blue hat, emblazoned with all kinds of astronomical symbols, a matching cape draping over her flank.
The great and powerful Trixie!
The fervour of the crowd died down a little bit. You could see the looks of elation and excitement at the mystery slowly revealing itself, changing to looks of confusion, and even disgust at the action. The cheers and whoops of the various ponies around the stage died to a confused murmur. Even Lyra, who had been stomping with every other pony around you, slowly slowed her hoofbeats to a stop. You could see Trixie's face as she noticed every pony's reaction. That look of confidence and of putting on the air of a performer started to crack as the mare underneath showed through, scared of what the crowd might think of her. She cleared her throat and quickly tried to find her footing again.
I said...
She stood on her hind legs and spread her rear hooves with a flourish. You couldn't get an exact idea of just how big she was from this far away from the front row, but on her hind hooves she looked enormous. Most ponies you knew were tall, but Trixie seemed to be particularly big even by their standards. You internally wondered if that perhaps made her a little self-conscious.
The great and powerful Trixie!
Fireworks began to shoot out from her hooves as her horn glowed, bursting into intricate patterns and shapes alongside the stage as the magically darkened sky glowed with the showmare's magic. Beside you, you heard a few oohs and ahs from little colts and fillies, only a little tinier than yourself, looking up at the pretty colours. One colt in particular, a little brown pony with a palm tree for a cutie mark, looked particularly enthralled. Trixie scanned the crowd uncertainly, but as her eyes landed on the colt in question, her muzzle broke out into a smile. She opened her mouth to say something else, but before she could get it out, a nearby mother wrapped her hoof around the small pony and began to pull him away. He fought against her, whining about wanting to see the tricks the pretty pony on stage was performing, but she quickly hushed him.
You saw her whisper something in his ear. You could hardly hear what she said, but the colt's expression changed. He looked from his mother back towards the stage, his expression turning into a grimace. He stuck his tongue out at her before the pair of them marched away. Trixie flinched as if struck, the magic keeping those astounding fireworks in the air faltering for a moment as the spell keeping the sky around the stage dark began to flicker as well.
I have returned to Ponyville in order to...
Trebus in a big glass bubble again? Shouted a stallion from the back of the crowd.
Bamboozle us with your lies about slaying some beast? Said a mare.
What's it going to be this time? A full-grown dragon?
No, a manticore! I bet she's got something bad planned.
Words began to flow through the crowd, the mumbles of dissent becoming indistinguishable as they all mixed together into a great glob of negativity. The fireworks went from flickering to vanishing entirely as Trixie's ears folded, the glow of her horn vanishing as the square lit up again.
Wait, no, I don't do things like that anymore.
Oh, save it, shouted some pony else. We all remember what you did to us. You dare show your face around these parts again? You've got some nerve, you liar!
You flinched along with her as that word hit the air, sharp like a physical whip as it struck her. You could see her large blue eyes watering. The crowd grew louder still as the negative opinions met one another and began to double, then triple, and quadruple in the air, reinforcing with every like mind they met. Soon, there was just short of an angry mob instead of a curious crowd. You looked to Lyra, only to see her swept up in the crowd's anger, shouting at the showmare with everyone else, her face contorted into a frown. You tried to say something in Trixie's defense, but your voice was quickly drowned out by all the massive ponies around you, and their collective voices were so loud you had to cover your ears, the boom of it beating in your stomach like a constant bass drum. You could see Trixie's face fall as the ponies in front of her grew less and less receptive to her words. Even with the spell enhancing her voice, you could only hear the occasional word over the din of noise, and the mare began to step back, a bit of fear etching itself onto her face now as she stood there in surprise. The first fruit some pony threw hit her dead in the face. It was a tomato by the looks of it. Even through the abysmal noise you heard her cry of shock and dismay as the red juice stained her blue coat, getting into her mane and dripping over her cloak. Her hat was knocked off by a squash as it smashed wetly against the top of her head. Other ponies were starting to take the example of the tomato thrower, fruit floating up from a nearby stand in a cloud of multicoloured magic before being hurled in her direction. You took a split second to notice that the fruit stand seemed to be run by two lanky stallions wearing terrible disguises with oddly bacon-shaped manes, who fed the fire further with the occasional,
"Get her! This pumpkin would be the perfect thing to give her what for! Only 5 bits!"
Trixie quickly threw up a small magical shield, already covered in fruit and vegetable juice from the rain of food hurled in her direction. She looked close to tears as she tried to speak up again, the magic raising her voice a little bit more.
Wait, please wait. I came here for another chance. I've changed, I promise.
A rotten-looking peach smacked against the shield as the crowd's anger only grew. You could hear her little snippets in between the general roar.
Change? Ponies like you don't change. You're just some stuck-up commare.
I still remember working for you the last time you came here. Got some other trinket to try and take over the town with?
Trixie looked around, trying to find someone, anyone, who might look as though they might believe in her, a friendly face in the sea of rejection. But she found no such relief. Your face was far too small among the sea of wrathful ponies for her to even begin to see. You wished you could comfort her from here. But as you were jostled from side to side by the ponies, growing angrier by the minute, you began to worry for your own safety, let alone trying to get to the front of the growing mob and finding some way to talk to her.
You bounced off Lyra's flank as she was pushed by a nearby mare, slamming into the chest of a shouting stallion with a racket for a cutie mark. You were shaken about, trying to stay close to Lyra as the sea of angry faces seemed to surge towards the stage.
ponies began to reach up towards the show mare, shouting things that, while admittedly appropriate for a show rated Year 7, were still very hurtful in general. Lyra was lost in a sea of colourful coats as you tried your best to stay above the tide of shouting equines. You were pressed in on all sides by pony flesh. You had to, on some level, notice it felt kinda nice. Ponies were fairly soft creatures all told, which was kind of a saving grace for you as you tried to stay above the water. You could see Trixie, tears starting to stream down her face, occasionally obscured by the head or flank of some pony jeering at her. Eventually, it became all too much. She turned, and in a flash of blue mane and tail, she raced towards the back of the stage, a small alcove opening to accept her into the cart section of her travelling show. There were cheers from the assembled mares and colts watching, as though they had chased off some great threat instead of a crying illusionist. You felt a bit of relief as the tightness of the crowd seemed to lessen slightly as the object of their aggressions retreated, a few victorious volleys of fruit still smacking into the wood panelling of the stage, one well-placed apple knocking a half-moon from the top of the stage where it clattered to the ground and rolled away to parts unknown. There were cries of, "Yeah!" and, "Run away like you always do!" As the ponies felt themselves bask in the wave of triumph for what they had done, you, on the other hand, just felt sad. After a few moments of shouting and lobbing the occasional fruit at the stage, everyone began to disperse. You were able to breathe a bit better as in ones, then twos, and finally whole sections, ponies began to drift back to their daily lives, murmuring about shopping lists and daily chores as though nothing had happened. You looked around, but you didn't see Lyra anywhere. You assumed she must have been swept up by the leaving crowd as the square emptied. Very soon, you were basically alone, besides a few ponies milling about in general, talking amongst themselves, and occasionally shooting dirty looks at the stage as it sat there, broken and battered. You couldn't believe the cruelty of the usually peaceful residents of the town, but you supposed this hadn't been the first time they'd chased some pony out of town, not even counting Trixie. Many a pony had faced the fickle nature of Ponyville's odd crowd mentality. Maybe it was just something about equines that led to the strange habit of either automatically falling in love with something or shunning it completely at the drop of a hat. You knew Trixie had done bad things, and you wondered if perhaps you might have been so forgiving if you had lived here during her little activities throughout the years. But still, everyone deserved redemption. And all in all, Trixie wasn't a bad mare, just an often misguided one. You'd done some bad things in your life as well, and you wished that when you had, there'd been a kind voice among the bad ones. You looked at your own clothes, and realised that you'd been wearing the same hoodie that you'd been wearing the day you'd fallen into this strange, colourful world. Rarity had made you a few additional clothes. Apparently it wasn't that hard to do after working on some smaller outfits for Spike. She just had to account for the fact that your legs were longer in comparison to the small dragon, or at least small by their standards. Still, you preferred to wear the jeans and hoodie that reminded you of home. It was a nice little bit of regular old earth that had followed you across the walls of the universe. You didn't even realise that you'd picked it out, really. It just kind of fit you like a glove. Thus, you tended towards it more often than not, much to Rarity's consternation. Today, it seemed appropriate. You nodded to yourself, a little confirmation about what needed to be done. You walked over to the half-moon and picked it up. It was bigger than it had looked when it had fallen, admittedly. But then again, everything was bigger here, really. It was very nearly your size, just about a foot and a half shorter. Fortunately, it seemed to be made out of a very cheap wood and you didn't have much trouble lifting it. You walked over to the stage, though the stairs were a bit bigger than the ones you were used to, even in Ponyville. You had to lift your legs twice as high as you would in the human world and then some to climb them. You felt like a child as you did. You supposed, being a performer, that if things were bigger it was always better, even if that meant you were winded by the time you reached the actual stage between that and carrying the half moon. A few ponies gave you a curious look, but none made an effort to stop you. They'd had their fun and were content to leave you alone. You figured that Lyra probably thought you'd been shanghaied by some other pony and would be back at the house later. You may have been odd, but since landing in Equestria you'd proven pretty popular, if only because you were a bit of a novelty, all things considered. You walked towards the door in the back of the stage. It was really rather cleverly made. You hadn't even noticed that there was a door here while she had been performing. The doorknob looked just like one of the various stars painted at the back of the stage. It was so big you couldn't get one hand around it, the top of the door reaching far above your head. You reached forwards to knock on the door, but as your knuckle met the wood, it just swung inwards in a lazy arc, not as much a creak as it drifted open on its hinges. The inside of the cart was dark. You supposed for most ponies this would be a small living quarters, but from your perspective it was pretty massive. There was a small kitchen right by the door, with various jars of spices and preserved fruits and nuts, everything done up in Trixie's usual aesthetic of moons and stars and such. Your nose barely peeked over the top of her counter. It was even worse than it had been in Twilight's library, or Lyra and Bonbon's apartment. The various jars containing food and other things were bigger than your head. You looked deeper inside the cart. It seemed to go pretty deep. You weren't sure if that was just magic, or if it just happened to be bigger on the inside than it looked. In any case, you didn't see Trixie anywhere. You cleared your throat. It felt drier than it had any right to feel at the moment. But you really couldn't help it. You were about to meet Trixie, the mare you had loved since the moment you saw her on TV. Sure, she got a bad rep in the fandom, but there was something about her slightly trickster archetype that you loved. Her confidence, and her eventual redemption. You'd watched everything with bells on, so to confront her in person was something of a personal dream of yours. Hello? You attempted, going still deeper into the cart as you cautiously walked forwards. You didn't want to scare her or anything. You imagined that she wasn't doing extremely well after what had happened on stage. You could still hear the occasional jab ringing through your own head, and they hadn't even been aimed at you. You couldn't even imagine what it must have been like from Trixie's perspective. I came into... Your perspective shifted as you felt a familiar sensation wrap around your body. A kind of warm, half-baked jello feeling as a blue halo of light wrapped itself around you, before flinging you harshly into the opposite wall. It knocked the wind out of you as you were suddenly flustered by what felt like 100 pounds of force sticking you to the wall like a fly on flypaper. Trixie appeared out of the darkness, her hat and cape discarded, her eyes red and slightly puffy. She had been crying. You looked up at her, and up was really the right word for it. She was even taller than every other pony you'd ever met, save for Celestia. The mare was easily 8 feet tall, not even counting the top of her horn. She towered over you, her equine form a bit wider than your own as it was. She stared at you with a mix of fear and suspicion.
"Who are you?"
she asked at a shrill yell, her voice cracking slightly. She coughed, cleared her throat, and asked again, at a deeper, more authoritative tone.
I mean, who are you?
The showmare seemed to get a better look at you, tilting her head as she looked down at what, to her, must have seemed like a very alien form.
And what are you, for that matter?
You tried to speak, but her magic was pressing down on you too hard for you to draw a proper breath. She must have used enough force to pin a pony, but since you weren't a pony, the effect was a bit like a bear was trying to use you as a bed. Trixie seemed to realise this at about the same time you did. She blinked and the halo magic surrounding you suddenly vanished. You fell a little ways to the ground, still clutching the half moon. You weren't free for long, however. The blue mare turned slightly, and you were greeted with the odd sensation of her flank suddenly pinning your form against the wall. She was a great deal warmer than her magic had been, a good deal softer too, for that matter. Your hand sank against her hip as you attempted to push her away. She was a bit more gentle than she had been with her magic, but not by much. Still, at least you could talk, even if this was extremely awkward. I'm sorry. I just came in to return this. You nodded to the half moon, still clutched in the crook of your left arm as your right pushed against her flank. And I just wanted to say I'm a big fan. Her expression changed at the word fan. Her puffy eyes lightened slightly in surprise. It was only for a moment, however. They darkened just as quickly. She leaned her hip against you a little more, her flesh pinning you more firmly. At her height, as she leaned more heavily, it became enough to encompass you up to your chin.
"Is this some kind of joke? A trick?"
she said, her voice hard.
You can't fool me."
Her face fell slightly.
"No pony likes Trixie. Especially not here."
She leaned away from you, the warmth of her flank still clinging to your jacket slightly as she did. You found you missed it a little. It was kinda nice, when it wasn't threatening your ribs anyway.
Wait, please. It's not like that.
Go!
She yelled, and you felt a magical shove push you in the direction of the door. Your mind faltered for a moment on what to say. You wanted to cheer her up, but you couldn't think of anything to do. You gently sat the half moon down on the ground and turned to walk away. If that's what you want, Trixie. Okay.
It is. Just leave Trixie alone. It is better that way.
You gave a sigh. She had been hurt. That much was obvious. You wanted to help her. But what could you do? You were just a small human. You couldn't prove to her that you really did enjoy her show. It's not like you had... Your eyes fell to your hoodie, eyes widening as it fell on the cutie mark emblazoned on the side. That was it. She must not have noticed in the dark. But you could prove to her that this wasn't some trick, that you really did like her. She was still standing there behind you, looking at the floor, her entire body sagging slightly. She looked tired. It seemed more than you'd ever seen any pony in your time here. You quietly walked towards her with quiet footsteps. She seemed so wound up in her own self-pity that she hadn't even noticed you hadn't left yet. You gently reached out a hand and touched against her side, just gently letting her know you were there. She flinched visibly, and you felt her preparing another blast of magic to blast you away.
Wait!
You cried, quickly tugging your hoodie out a bit to display the familiar symbol sewn into the side. She froze, her eyes filled with a hurt fury. For a moment, there was silence inside the cart. The only sounds were your heavy breathing and the light fizzle of charging magic as your body tensed in case she reacted the wrong way. Trixie looked from the hoodie to your eyes, then again, and a third time. The silence persisted as her fury turned to pure, confused shock. Seeing an opportunity, you decided to be the first to speak up.
"See? I'm a fan,"
you smiled awkwardly. "A fan of the best illusionist in Equestria." Trixie blinked, unsure how to proceed. You could see some thoughts going on behind those deep blue eyes, but you couldn't be sure just what she was thinking. She'd either accept it or think you were some crazy stalker. But if her ego was like anything it was portrayed in the cartoons, you had a feeling she wouldn't.
"The great and powerful Trixie has... merchandise?"
She said the word as someone from your world might speak of some holy object. She almost fell over as she quickly tried to catch herself.
I mean...
She righted herself, trying to hide how much she'd been hurting earlier, standing up to her full height, dwarfing you by a fair bit.
Of course she has merchandise. But how did you come upon such a thing?
You smiled. Well, Trixie, it's a funny story now that you mention it. You spilled the beans. You knew Twilight told you not to tell anyone about your origins, but if any man needed to know she was loved, it was Trixie. Even if it was by a legion of admittedly weird guys on the internet in a universe she probably couldn't even comprehend. You told her about the fan sites, the forums, the images, leaving out the racy bits. You told her everything, perhaps with a little fudging as well, embellishing certain bits to make yourself seem a bit more important than you actually were. But hey, it's not like she was ever going to go to the human world, and having an important fan would do wonders for her self-esteem. She listened, entranced by every word you spoke, leaning in close. It was ever so disconcerting to have a mare whose body was several times larger than your own listening like an attentive student to your every word, but a good kind of disconcerting. Her muzzle occasionally moved with your words when you said things like most popular and mascot of the most important news site in ponydom, Equestria Daily. The traces of her earlier crying faded as more and more information was piled on top of her, each more interesting than the last. And that's about it, you finished, nodding lightly.
All of that? From me? In your world?
She said slowly, her large muzzle, wider than your head, leaning in even closer than before as she hung on you for your answer. You couldn't help but notice her breath smelled slightly of some kind of berry. It was fruity and quite pleasant. Of course, you replied, nodding. All for you. Because you're amazing, Trixie. No matter what the ponies out there may say. You made a waving motion in the direction of the door. Who needs them? Trixie stood up at her full height again.
You're right! The great and powerful Trixie needs no one!
She magicked her hat and cape out of some unseen corner of the room, fastening the former around her neck and placing the latter on her head.
I am amazing! The greatest showmare in Equestria!
You couldn't help but chuckle a bit at her sudden 180. It was nice to see her happy again, and in her usual overly flamboyant manner nonetheless. That's right, Trixie, and don't you forget it. She seemed to notice you again in a new light, her eyes centering on you. Was she blushing?
Thank you for telling me all this. The great and powerful Trixie is appreciative of your knowledge of worlds with good taste.
You nodded. Of course, it is an honour to be here to tell you, O great and powerful Trixie. You couldn't help but chuckle lightly as the words left your mouth. It was a bit funny to say it out loud. She didn't seem to notice, however, and kept staring at you. You stood up, stretching and looking towards the door. Through one of the windows you could see that it had gotten quite late outside. The sun was setting. Lyra and Bonbon would soon be wondering where you were. I should probably get home, you mumbled to yourself. It's been great though, Trixie. I'm very happy to have met you. Before your foot hit the ground on your first step, you heard her cry out.
Wait!
You froze and looked back to see her with one hoof raised, looking at you with an oddly desperate expression. She caught your gaze and quickly righted herself, clearing her throat.
I mean,
she continued, taking a step towards you.
Well, perhaps you could stay for a little while? You know, maybe talk to me about that world of yours a little bit more? I should like to hear more. Maybe not even about us, just where you come from. I find you quite...
She closed the gap between you completely, her chest pressing against yours as she craned down a bit to look at you. You had to look up a fair ways to keep eye contact at this point.
Intriguing.
You gulped involuntarily. Well, Trixie. You felt her foreleg come around you and press softly into your back. It was almost as long as you were tall, pressing you warmly against her as she leaned down towards your face.
Yes?
She asked, that warm smell of fruits and berries filling your nose a little. I... You floundered. This was working a bit better than you'd expected. I mean, it's getting so late, and I...
It's just... No one has spoken to me like that before. No one has shown such kindness... Such love for what I am, not wanting me to change or become what I am not. liked me. For me.
She continued as though you hadn't even spoken. Her hoof tightened at your back. You couldn't help but notice how warm her coat was and how it shifted with the gentle motions of her breath. She could have easily laid across all of you and no pony would have even been the wiser.
Trixie. Well, I only told the truth.
That was all it took for the azure-coated mare to lock lips with you. She closed the gap between you and her completely, bearing down on you like an amorous freight train.
She made a needy little sound, her blue cheeks lighting red as she pushed herself against your smaller body.
Kissing her was strange. Your body was a lot smaller than hers, and so was your mouth. Her lips encompassed everything from your eyebrows downwards, and her tongue was practically big enough to fill your entire mouth as it made its way into the kiss. A smell hit the air, and suddenly you knew why she was so amorous. You'd heard about this in the occasionally badly written fan fiction. This was a mare that hadn't been touched in months, if not longer, and spring was right around the corner. That meant... A sudden burst of force shook you from your thoughts as she pushed you over completely, knocking you down onto the floor of the cart. She wasn't far behind. Trixie laid directly on top of you, covering your body from your forearm down under her weight. It was heavy, but fortunately for you, she had the presence of mind not to put her full weight on you, just enough to let you know you wouldn't be going anywhere any time soon. She broke the fervent kiss with a little gasp, her breath hot against your face as she blushed like a fire engine. You gasped, drawing in as much breath as you could manage with her atop you like this.
She leaned down again and nuzzled amorously at your neck. Please, I need this. You've been so kind.
She practically whined, squirming back and forth atop your body with it. You could feel a particularly warm part of her body further down. Your legs weren't exactly touching it, but it was pretty obvious what it was. By this point, you were blushing just as hot as she was. You looked into her needful eyes and knew you couldn't refuse. You squirmed a bit and gave a simple nod. No more words needed to be said. Her eyes lit up and in a fraction of a second, you felt the tingling warm touch of magic around your body. Trixie got off of you, standing upright, exposing a blue halo that encompassed the whole of your form as she lifted you like a toy. She turned with the air of an excited filly and began to trot towards the back of the cart. As she did, you got a good look at her hips. Trixie was the biggest unicorn you had ever seen, and that went double for her rear end. You supposed that being a travelling performer didn't make for the best meals. She probably ate what she could get her hooves on whenever she could get her hooves on it, calorie count be damned. And it showed particularly well in her hindquarters. If Fluttershy's hips were wider than your shoulders, Trixie's were easily wider than half your body. As she stepped, each cheek rose and fell like the changing of the tides, jiggling slightly as her hooves came down to clop against the wooden floor. You felt a stirring in your loins as you watched a very special, private magic show. She looked over her shoulder and noticed just where your eyes were casting their gaze. Her blush got a touch hotter for a moment before she also noticed the resulting bulge in your jeans. She couldn't have been very familiar with human anatomy, but it didn't take a genius to figure out roughly what that meant. Her look of slightly embarrassed surprise changed, slowly melting into something more sultry as she gave her hips a little wiggle, just for you.
I see you are a rump stallion, she purred. Well, the great and powerful Trixie shall put on a show for her biggest, well, most enthusiastic fan.
She gave a sultry chuckle. She stopped walking and her magic shifted, turning you to sit on what you assumed was Trixie's bed in front of her. In regards to its place in the cart, it must have been just a little cramped for the large mare. But from your perspective, it was easily bigger than a queen-sized mattress and then some. You could have slept in it and rolled around all you pleased without worry of sliding off the edge. Trixie looked to you, that sultry come-hither gaze never failing.
Prepare yourself.
She slowly turned around, making a show of it, swaying her hips, making her cape flutter and shake with her movements. The cape ended just where her haunches began, her cutie marks on either side of that prodigious plot, shaking in rhythm to music only she could hear. Trixie's tail flagged upwards, shaking side to side saucily before reaching forwards to drape itself around your neck. The size of her made it seem like the longest, softest scarf you'd ever had the pleasure of wearing. The tip curled up and caressed your chin gently, smelling strongly of her as it led your eyes straight down its length to her arse. Trixie playfully tensed her rear, making her cheeks tense together, before releasing and letting them shake for your benefit.
For the greatest, most powerful ass in Equestria.
You just stared in awe. Her rump was slightly above eye level as you sat on the bed. You could truly appreciate its size as you gazed at it. Heat radiated off of her as she stood in front of you, giving another slow giggle seeing your stupefied expression. She began to slowly shake her hips, bobbing back and forth with a slow, sensual rhythm. If you didn't know better, you'd have said she'd been practicing. You stared in total awe as she began to tease you with that massive arse. Comparatively, you felt downright tiny in its shadow as she began to throw a little more sauce into her dance. Her hips played out a saucy little routine for your benefit, raising one side, then the other, and repeating the motion, sending those large soft mounds jiggling, her tail hiking every now and then to give you tantalizing peeks at her innermost treasures as she teased you with the view. You felt yourself responding to her advances, your pants quite a bit tighter than they'd been a few minutes ago. You'd always, on the basest level in the darkest corner of your mind, dreamed of something like this, but to live it was almost too much to bear. You let out a groan as you continued to watch the playful gyrations of her massive hips as Trixie began to lean back towards you, that big blue butt starting to eclipse everything in your field of vision. The warmth became intoxicatingly consuming, washing over you as her scent filled the air, appealing to you on almost every level of human perception, except touch. You couldn't take it any more. Your arms lifted almost on their own, reaching out to touch that warm, soft, heavenly-looking flesh. The warm glow of magic wrapped around your hands and drew them back behind you in an instant.
No, no, no.
Trixie looked at you over her shoulder, her wide muzzle set in a sultry grin.
You know me. You're my biggest fan, after all. Does a good show pony give her best trick at the start of the show?
She shook her head with a playful tisking sound.
You'll just have to wait.
Her eyes trailed down to your obvious bulge, her horn lighting up a bit brighter.
In the meantime, let me give you just a bit of assistance.
You gasped as you felt that same magical, warm, almost jelly-like embrace press against the tent forming in your lap, playfully rubbing back and forth. Occasionally, that magical grip seemed to slither around your pants completely, teasing you through your underwear as you squirmed about on the bed, only held upright by her magical assistance as it wrapped around your waist. Trixie's smile grew more devious as she heard you start to moan. She said nothing else, just letting the motions of her body take over from there as her movements became more sensuous. You could see every subtle shift and motion of that deliciously delightful derriere, now so close you could have reached forwards and pressed your face between those heavenly buns. She was so much larger than you that if she chose, you could have been utterly buried with no hope of rescue, and you would have been just fine with that. Her magical touch was coy, playfully stimulating you, but knowing just when to back off to keep you from reaching release. It was maddening with its skill. She knew what she was doing, keeping you on the edge of your seat for as long as possible until you could hardly see straight with pleasure. You barely managed. Trixie's chuckle washed over you like a wave, her voice just as deliciously enticing as the rest of her.
Do you want to see my next trick?
Her voice dripped with desire like a heavy, coating molasses.
Yes,
you managed between moans.
Come on now, you'll have to speak up.
To punctuate, her magic tightened around your hidden member, all but directly touching it through the fabric.
Yes!
You cried, your whole body tensing with pleasure. Trixie gave another slow chuckle, nodding to you over her shoulder.
Well then, I'll need an assistant. Someone handsome, strapping, totally and utterly adoring of me. Do you think you can fit the bill?
Her magic caressed you in ways you didn't know were possible, or without directly touching your skin.
Yes! Yes, please! I can!
Her eyes drifted down along your body with a hungry purr.
All right, then. Prepare yourself for the most great and powerful night of your life.
With a burst of magic, your pants outright vanished, your underwear disappearing with them. You gasped at the sudden coolness as your magical bonds dissipated. You were suddenly free to act. You didn't need any further permission. Your hands flew forward, groping and squeezing at the soft, malleable flesh of her rear with shameless abandon. She pressed back against you with a deep moan as your hands roamed across her skin. From her reaction, you could tell she hadn't been touched in some time. To have someone worship her in such a way was endlessly pleasurable. Her sighs left no lack of warm, dizzyingly pleasuring skin to be caressed, touched, squeezed, and even, as you lost yourself in the pleasure of her body, kissed. She began to squirm. She obviously liked it when you touched her, but there was one place that needed, no, demanded your attentions. This close, without her tail in the way, her slit was obvious. The heat pouring off of it was blinding as her scent filled your nose, starting to drip with need. Her sounds led you forwards like the Pied Piper, getting louder any time one of your advances closed in on it. You were no bastion of restraint. You couldn't hold back as long as she had. You began to tease that sopping opening with your fingers, tracing them along those outer folds, finding her clit and giving it slow, indulgent attention as you squeezed, caressed, and flicked at it. Trixie very nearly collapsed on top of you as she began to cry out, her sultry facade fading in the face of her lust. On some level, you hoped the cart was soundproof, but right now, you certainly didn't care enough to stop, or even slow down. Your hands become coated in her juices as her pleasure grew, her moans growing in volume. Finally, she could stand it no more. The massive magician threw herself backwards against you. It was only the softness of the mattress that saved you from a world of discomfort. Her arse covered you, your face pressed firmly against her needy snatch. You could hardly breathe. The soft warmth of her body put immense pressure on your body, but you could hardly be asked to care. You knew what she needed, and you were all too eager to comply. Your tongue slid from your mouth and lathered itself against her inner walls. Even muffled as they were, you could hear her moaning responses through her pressing weight. The sounds made her entire body vibrate around you. She had the presence of mind to return the favour. Without the constricting confines of your pants, your member stood tall and hard, throbbing, aching to be touched. Trixie's magic enveloped it tightly, that warm jello-like sensation suddenly cinching into one of the most strange and pleasurable sensations you had ever experienced. It began to undulate and move up and down along your shaft, like nothing you had ever felt before. You moaned into her folds as your tongue found her clit, stroking and licking against it mercilessly. She was no slouch, never one to be beaten. In response, her touches around your cock doubled in intensity, squeezing, caressing, stroking. undulating and changing, sometimes centering on the very tip, at others stroking down the length in that warm, tight embrace. The magic expanded and began to fondle your balls as well, leaving no part of you spared her touch. Finally, it became too much. You were almost out of air, and you could hardly stand any more without coming. You could feel Trixie as well. She was just as close. Moments before you blew your load, abruptly everything stopped. Her magic ceased its skilled caresses, and she lifted herself off of your body, your face shining with a mix of her fluids and your own sweat. You looked at her for a moment, begging, pleading for more.
No, she panted, her cheeks bright red. Have to finish the show properly.
She managed a little smirk despite her obvious urging lust. She shifted on the bed, turning around so her chest was above you, looking down between her legs, each almost as tall as you were, her slit positioned directly above your throbbing dick.
Get ready.
That was all the warning she gave. Suddenly she slammed down against you, showing just how much control she had over her body as the sudden pressure winded you, but left no pain. Your member was suddenly enveloped in the warm, all-encompassing embrace of her entrance. You both cried out with pleasure at the sudden intimate contact. Trixie began to ride you, up and down, again and again as she expertly used your manhood to its fullest extent as a tool of her pleasure. You were almost blinded by the relentless sensation that filled you, your entire body tingling like it was on fire with euphoria. After all of that foreplay, neither of you could last long. You hadn't gotten any action since you'd come to Equestria, and who knew how long it had been for Trixie. She brought herself down over you one final time, and as one, you both threw your heads back and cried to the heavens, minds wiped for a moment of everything except the powerful, all-consuming orgasm that washed through your bodies, suspended in bliss for what seemed like an eternity and a second. Finally spent, you slumped to the bed. Trixie, after a moment of catching her breath, flopped beside you on the massive mattress. Your bodies were a mess of sweat and sexual fluids. You found her hooves wrapping around you, pulling you close, hugging you against the warmth of her massive chest, her heart still beating quickly. You pressed against her, your own heart racing as you recovered. You felt her muzzle, wider than your head, nuzzle against your hair, inhaling slightly.
The great and powerful Trixie would like to perhaps request your company in the future. Perhaps next week at 8 o'clock?
She asked, the slight authority in the query ruined by a shy edge to her words and the panting of her breath.
I think I might be able to pencil you in.
You smiled a bit and leaned up to press your small lips against the tip of her nose. She hugged you tighter.
Good. Now, until morning, your services are required as teddy bear. There is no choice in this,
she chuckled.
You know,
you mumbled sleepily.
I don't think I have a problem with that.
Held in each other's embrace, you both drifted into a comfortable, warm sleep. The end.
Well, I hope everypony enjoyed that. That has got to be one of the most unique Trixie stories I have ever had the pleasure of reading. So, what will become of Trixie and her human boyfriend? We will find out in the near future. But for now, we're moving on to other projects. Next time, I will be returning far more swiftly than last time, because I am bringing you another chapter of Cuddling is the Best Remedy. So I hope you're all excited for that. I know I am. So, I will bid you all farewell until next week, hopefully. I wish you well, everypony. Until next time. Ciao.